Okay, well, my message this morning, you know, to be honest, even some believers today, and certainly there are many people that just believe in God. They may not believe in Yeshua yet, but they believe in God. But we have this group of believers in Messiah Yeshua, and we also have many people in the world that you know, say that they believe in God. They have a problem with believing in the creation that we read about in our first parsha. I couldn't resist to sort of kick this off about the parsha because Bereshit is really such a great portion, and it is such a great way to start off our cycles. So really just talking about Bereshit just for a minute or two here, because people will say, even in our messianic synagogues and in churches around the world, people will say, oh yeah, the Bible is the Word of God, but those first 38 verses in the Bible, I don't know. Can we take them literally? I don't know. Everything created in only 6 days? Can we take that literally? And there are so many people out there that, you know, say they're scientists and they understand these things and they've researched these things, and they tell us the opposite. They tell us that the world could not be created in 6 days, that everything that we see today couldn't be created in 6 days. They tell us that those 38 verses about the account in the Garden of Eden, they say that it couldn't happen, that it's just impossible. And then only 6,000 years? But carbon dating tells us it's millions of years. And God's word says only 6,000 years, that everything, that it started only 6,000 years ago. People have a problem with these things. The Bible is one book, then the beginning, because it is one book, what we start off today should relate to the end of the book, because it is one book. We recognize it as being one book. And because it is one book, the end of the book relates to the beginning of the book, because it is one book. And the end of the book and the beginning of the book, if they're one book, that means the Tanakh relates to the Brit Hadashah, the old to the new and the new to the old. And the thing is, the middle of the book relates to either end of the book. It all relates. You can't separate it out. So what we start reading about in creation kicks off the book. But we have to keep in mind, some people say, well, I believe in this part of the book only, or that part of the book only. You either, and this is the truth, and to some people it's an unfortunate truth, you either believe it's all truth, or let's just throw the whole thing out. Because we don't know what's truth and what's not truth. We don't know how to separate it out. So either you believe that it's God's word and it is truth, or you just throw the whole thing out and say, you know what, I can't deal with any of it, and I really couldn't say for sure that any of it's truth. In our lives, do we know anyone that has created something out of nothing? Anyone? Even when we remember or think about our mothers, boy, that woman could make a meal out of nothing. You know? But the reality is, she had leftovers. She had a cupboard, a pantry. There were canned goods there. Maybe there was something in the freezer, something in the refrigerator that she could take from and make something and put something together. She had staples that she could put something together. So it wasn't really her making something out of nothing. Artists need paint and they need canvas. We look at that scenario and we think about how many times we have used this as an argument that when people say that, well, everything started from a primordial soup of elements together, and they all came together randomly in the beginning, but given enough millions of years, everything came together. And isn't it amazing? After all those millions of years, look at me as a specimen here. From the primordial soup, it's amazing. Isn't it amazing? And so we say in arguing, you know, put a chimpanzee in a room with all of the paint and pencils and colored crayons and chalk and paper and canvas, all the artist's supplies. Give that chimpanzee billions of years. It will not come up with a Mona Lisa. Or even an Alan Levine. So how could randomly it come about? And then, as the old joke goes, from the primordial soup with all the elements and all those things in it, who made the elements in the primordial soup? And so, just as artists, carpenters can be the best carpenters in the world, but if they don't have wooden nails, they're nothing. They need those supplies, and then they need those supplies, and where do those supplies come from? So if we are to believe that the Bible is true and that only God can do it, only God can do it. And to top it off, and I'm reminded a lot, but every Shabbat, when I get in my car, it's just that time of the morning, I get here a little before 8. And so I get out about, you know, 20 to 8, get out of the house, and I just look, and I look, and I see that sky that just had a sunrise a little earlier, maybe an hour earlier, whatever, and I get in the car, and I start driving out of the subdivision, and I really do, and I say, man, look what a beautiful day it is, and I really have this opportunity. I do it every week, and I look around, and I see the trees, and I see the flowers that are out there, and I see all these things, and I'm just reminded it's a great way. And it is real, I guess, to kick off the Shabbat, to be reminded that not only did God make this stuff from nothing, but it's really beautiful. It's breathtaking, if you really look at it. It can be magnificent. Or, as David said, it could be good. But it's good. So I'm going to go to my first verse. It's Genesis 1:31. Because here's the reality, then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Tov me'od. It wasn't good, it was very good. God created something from nothing. He created everything from nothing, and it wasn't just good, it was very good. Tov me'od. This should be uplifting to each and every one of us this morning. Why? Is it because of the beautiful out there? No. It should be uplifting for you as an individual. For your life, this should be uplifting this morning. Because if God can create beauty out of nothing, out of a vacuum, Zilch. Nothing. Nada. Nunca. Is that nothing? No, what is that?
Never.
Never. All right. Okay. I'll stick with nothing. If he can create beauty out of nothing, how much more could he create something in you? You see, this message this morning should be an uplifting message for each and every one of us this morning. And he's not even starting from nothing, but sometimes we have a lot of nothings in our lives. A lot of nothings. And so maybe you believe that you are worth nothing. There's too much suicide today in the world because those people believe they are worth nothing. And it's amazing. They could be successful people, good providers for their family even, well-known people. But deep inside, they feel like they are worth nothing. And that's one of the reasons they commit suicide. There are other reasons, certainly. But there's something that goes on today in people's minds, that there are too many people out there that believe they are worth nothing. Or they say, if I wasn't around, it would make a difference. If I wasn't around, nothing in the world would change. You know, I saw something a couple of weeks ago, and it was true. People that commit suicide, they may get rid of their pain, but they create a lot of pain in all their loved ones. They don't think about, you know, because people say, I couldn't take the pain anymore. Good. So now you are transferring that pain over to everyone around you, and even more so. Right? It's a selfish thing. I think it's a selfish thing. I'm sorry, but that's me. But people think that. If I wasn't around, it would make a difference. I have nothing to offer. Another nothing. I have nothing to offer. People understand, if we allow ourselves to, we have a lot to offer, each and every one of us. Or, nothing in your life will ever be right again. Well, things were good, but I'm on everything turned down, and nothing is going to be ever right again in my life because of whatever happened in my life. So there's all these nothings that we have in our life. These nothings are nothing for the Lord. They're nothing for Him. They may be big nothings, maybe big nothings for you and me, and people around us even, but it is nothing for the Lord. Because He is the Lord. He's God. He can do anything. And so God has this path, and God has His will, and God has His plan. And we, as humans, we have our path, and we have our will, and we have our plans. And this sometimes is a big problem. God is God, and we is we. And they sometimes, like oil and water, just don't come together. And God knew that when He made us, He gave us free will. And that was the chance that He took. Why? Because He wanted to create a people that would love Him and have a relationship with Him. And so He didn't want to create us as robots that we would automatically love Him and honor Him and worship Him. He wanted us to have free will, and by our free will, decide to love Him and decide to honor Him and decide to worship Him. And with that, we could decide we don't want to have anything to do with Him, and we don't love Him, and we don't want to bother worshiping Him, and we don't want Him in our lives. That's the chance He took, but He didn't want us to be mindless robots, because that's not where it's at. He wants people that would choose to love Him and understand Him. Just like you wouldn't want to have, you know, we see, you know, people, if people are in a situation and in a relationship where there's not free choice. How can you feel good because someone is telling you they love you, but you know they're afraid that if you don't say that, you're going to kill them? See, that's not love. It's all about that free choice. So we have our path and God has his path. And sometimes we move away from him. Our plans, our will, our paths move away from him. Sometimes they go in the opposite direction of him. Totally. Sometimes we take side tricks, side trips. We take, we meander around. We stray a little bit here and we stray a little bit there. We all do that. We all have a tendency to do that. But all of his steps are ordered. And if we keep the faith, and if we continue desiring to serve him, which leads up to serving him, and if we desire to live for him, which should naturally live for him, and if we keep our eye on him and keep our eye on the target, then our paths will come together. Sometimes it's eventually, but they will eventually come together. So Psalm 37, you know, this is the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. And so it says here, a good man. Now, actually, the Hebrew word here is not, it's not Adam and it's not Ish. And actually, what we have here, the word good man, is one Hebrew word. It's gever. Gever is a good man or a valiant man. It's someone that has some kind of goodness in them, just as Noah had goodness in him, that David said. It is gever. It's not just a regular man, we would say. It's not just Adam or Ish. But the word is not Adam or Ish for man. It's gever. It's a special kind of man, a good man and a valiant man. And this is what the psalmist tells us, that their steps are ordered. So that's why I say, if we keep the faith and if we want to serve him, we want to live for him, and we keep our eye on him, then we are considered that gever, the good man. You know, sometimes we think about or we look back on events that have happened in our lives. I know that I've mentioned this before. Every once in a while, I want to remind us about it, because we need to be reminded about it. That we look back in our lives and we see sometimes that there are certain things happened in our lives and they made no sense at the time. And now we look back, especially if you are one of those who has become one of Yeshua's disciples. And now you look back with a new heart, because the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, has given you new eyes and a new heart. And now you look back at all those events and you see, gee, I could have done that, or I could have gone there, I could have done this way, these people could have my life, these people not. You see all these events and you realize there was an order of things, that God was there and his Spirit was making you even before you were a believer. He was working with you, and you realize that it was God that was really there and directing your path here and there, so that you would have ended up where you are today. But at the time, you had no clue about it. You had no idea. And then so we look back. But here's the thing, he knows. He knows how young you are. He knows how old you are. So when we look at our lives and we see all these nothings, he knows how much time that you have in your life. He knows what your schedules are. He knows what has happened to you when in your younger days. He knows who betrayed you in your life. He knows who has hurt you along the way. He knows who has rejected you in your life. He knows about the bills that you keep having to pay month after month. He knows it. He knows about the things that you feel that you should have gotten and you didn't get, whether it be material things or job positions. He knows it. He knows about those things. He knows about the neighbors that hate you for whatever reason, because of the property line or the grass or whatever stupid thing it might be. He knows about the neighbors that they just don't want to have a relationship with you and they make it hard. Oh my God, I wish they were never my neighbor. I wish they would just move away. He knows about those neighbors. Gosh, I guess we have people here that have neighbors like that, huh? I hear a couple of "that's right" and laughing. Okay, there's more out there than I thought. He knows about them. Believe and understand and tell yourself, nothing has just happened. It's not about nothingness. Although to you it's nothing. And there are a lot of nothings. And we have good nothings, we have bad nothings, and we have good nothings. We have nothings that are beneficial to us, and we have nothings that we think they're nothings and they're really not nothings. But there's a lot of nothings. That's the title of my message. A lot of nothings. That is it. So here's the thing. His plans will be completed with you or without you. So you got to understand that. Whether you believe it or not, he's going to do it and he has his plan. It doesn't matter. You know, here's the reality. If 99% of the world didn't believe he existed, he would still exist. It doesn't, he is not taking a vote on you people. His plan is going to be completed. So I've got a chart, and I want you to understand, it took me as long as my message to make this chart, so please like this chart. I tried to explain it, but hopefully God's will and plan, the blue arrows, and there's an end. And God's going to get to that end, and this is our journey. And I use journey because I know sometimes it's not such, you know, the way we do it and rebel and all these things. So here's our journey. And we go up and we go down. And here's the blue. And God tries to steer you around and get you up towards that plan. And then what do? We go down and we get out of the way. We meander around. We take our own path. We do what we want to do. And God, in his mercy, turns us a little bit and tries to steer us up in the right direction again. And what do? We get there's a little short red arrow, and we try to get out of the way again. And then God, you know what? If we love him, want to serve him, have a heart for him, we keep our eye on him, the end result is going to be that he's going to steer us around and he's going to bring us to the end, to the same end that he wants to, that he is going to end with. He wants us to be at that end with him. Please tell me I didn't waste my time on that. I'm telling you, it really took me a long time. I'm telling you. All right. Don't bum me out. All right. So this is it. With all of our stuff and craziness and rebellion and all these things we want to do because we want to do it and getting involved with this and we're involved with that, he is there and he's always trying to steer us around. And then, and even sometimes when we get to that last little blue arrow that turns us up, if we look all the way back, now we understand what he was trying to do in our lives. And we go, wow, we didn't even know that he was there. And it's before we even had a clue that he existed sometimes in our lives. That is the grace and the mercy of the Lord. And so we waver and we stray, but he is there for us to get things back on track. How many times have you looked down at the gas gauge in the car? You know, we do this. We at appropriate times, we do look for the Lord. We look for the Lord. We do. I know all of you. And you want to know what? I think there's a whole bunch of agnostics out there. They're doing it too. When you look down at the gas gauge, and the gas gauge, the light goes on, and it goes to E. Everybody starts praying up a storm, right? Oh, Lord, I hope I got enough gas to get to the gas station, right? Isn't that amazing? We all in our lives know what it means to be, and I'm not even talking about you in your car. We know what it means to be out of gas, and we know what it means to be empty in the tank. We know it. Maybe not right now, but let's look back and you know there were times in your life where you had that nothingness. And that's what it's about this morning, that nothingness. And oh, how we pray when we're out of gas in the car. And then some people, when they have the nothingness in their life, they don't pray the same way. Why not? Why are you, you know, it's more important with the car than with your own life. But we are down, there are many nothings in our lives. With God, it is important to have faith that God is going to intervene in our lives. He intervenes in everyone's life. The people that don't know him, the people that hate him, the people that, you know, they want to take the Ten Commandments out of the courthouses. All those people, they don't understand. God is intervening in their lives all the time. He created us so that sometimes he can sort of step aside a little bit, and he made a machine that will breathe and a heart that will beat and keep going on. And if he chose to, he could just flip a finger or a switch, and he created the stuff. He could make it shut down if he wants to. But people don't understand. It's not the popularity contest. He is there. Whether you believe in him or not, he is there. And so even in our times of nothingness, he is there for each of us. We are not alone. I could go into, and I'm not going to, but I mean, look, you know, just you look at, you know, Joseph was, his brothers left him for dead, and then he was sold as a slave. Boy, talk about nothing. If your family wanted to kill you and you were sold into slavery and you were sitting and rotting in a prison, would you think, man, right now my life is nothing? Of course. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They went in and out, all kinds of things. But Jacob is the one that had to deal with the land that had drought and famine so bad that he sent the family out to find something for them out of the land. Otherwise, everybody's going to die of famine there. That's a big nothing. Our lives are filled with nothings. And if we don't have our sins atoned for, there is nothing to comfort us at death. Now that's the good nothings this morning. I want to end in good nothings. The goodness of the beginning of my message is God took nothing and he made something nothing out of nothing. He made something great and beautiful. And we have a lot of nothings in our lives. I'm here to tell you that God can make you just as beautiful and wonderful in your life. If he did it with the void and the darkness. And it wasn't the presence of darkness, it was the absence of light. There was nothing. And he made something good about it. Well, I tell you this morning that we don't, if we accept Yeshua, we will have something to comfort us. We know where we go. But if you don't have sins atoned for, there is nothing to comfort you. It's a bad nothing, but when we accept Yeshua, it's all turned around. Even though we have nothing to boast, even though we have nothing that we can say that we have earned our salvation, it doesn't matter. Because what God did for us with his Son, that because we are going to make it into God's kingdom, but we have nothing to boast about. And there is no good work that can get us in. These are the nothings that I want people to look at this morning. That Yeshua allowed us to bring our faith to the table. And all those nothings are wiped out. All those nothings that we feel about in our lives, all those nothings. And it's because of our faith that was brought to the table, just as that wonderful ending in our parsha this morning. God chose Noah and allowed Noah and his family to survive. Why? Because of their faith. They were righteous people. They had this faith. But the world around them just didn't have the faith and didn't believe in who God was. And they hated, if they believed in God, they believed in him just enough to hate him. And in Yeshua, we have nothing to disturb our peace. There should be nothing in our lives. There's nothing, God tells us, there's nothing that we can't handle in our lives. He will not put anything before us that we cannot handle this with his help. We should never, the big nothing is, never ever have a fear about eternity. Because we know. Why do we know? Not because I'm standing up here telling you this. But God told us, and he has proved it time and time again. And he has shown us how powerful he is, and magnificent he is, and merciful he is, and how much he loves his creations. We never, ever have to fear eternity ever again, because we have a promise from him that we will one day be with him, and we will one day be at that end result. So let's keep our eye on that finish line, on that target. And if God is steering you around in one way or the other, let him steer. Let him steer you around, because you know where he is steering you to. He's steering you to his end result. He is steering you to his ending. And we know that his ending is the best that we could ever imagine it to be. So, it's all about nothing this morning. A lot of nothings. Don't worry, God can handle it. Amen, amen. We thank you, Lord, for all the nothingness, the good, the bad, and the ugly, because you have it all in your hands. We praise you, Lord, in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Praise you, Lord.